We thank you for being a loving God. We thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you have given us, Father. We thank you for the beautiful day that you have provided for us. Father, we thank you for each and every person that is here today, Father. We come to honor you. We come to honor you with our singing, with our voices. And now, Father, we come to honor you by paying attention, to your holy word. Father, may these words be uplifting. May they be truthful. And Father, as always, may we not just be hearers of your word, but may we always be doers of your precious word. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Well, we are going to take a short break from our sermon series on the gospel according to John. And the reason I'm taking a short break, a two-week break, is because we have come to a place in the gospel of John where the next message is on the resurrection. And so I didn't want to do a message on the resurrection today. I thought, hey, let's just wait until Easter Sunday. So what we're going to do is I've come up with something for today that I think is applies to where we are today in our in our lives. And then next week we'll talk about Palm Sunday, because it is Palm Sunday, and we'll talk about the triumphal entry. So that's the reason I'm taking a two-week break on our sermon series. Now, before we return to that series, I want to spend some time in a passage that speaks directly to the kind of world that we're living in right now. And that is a world that often feels very unstable. I mean, just turn on the news for just a few minutes and you'll see reminders of how fragile our world really is. Nations rage against one another. Political tensions rise. Economic concerns trouble families. Cultural hostility towards the Christian faith seems to be growing. And beyond all that, each of us, we carry our own burdens. We have health struggles, family worries, there's financial pressures, and spiritual battles. And it doesn't take long before fear can creep into the human heart. And I guess the question is, where do people go for stability when everything around them seems to be shaking? Well, for some people, they run to politics. Others, they run to money, believing financial security will protect them. Some people, they seek comfort in entertainment. Some people seek comfort in hobbies. Others, they just put their head in the sand like an ostrich and everything will be fine and all the fears will just go away. But you know, the Word of God gives us a different answer. You see, our stability is not found in a stable world. Our stability is found in a sovereign God. And that is the message of one of my favorite psalms, the 46th Psalm. You know, when I was a young man, growing up in a church and everything like that, the psalms did nothing for me. Nothing. Maybe you can relate. The psalms did nothing. I would read the psalms and they'd be like, I ain't getting nothing out of them. But now that I have become an old man, which I am becoming, the Psalms are a treasure. And for those of you who maybe the Psalms don't speak to you right now in your life, I guarantee you as you get older, they do speak to you. And if you talk to any of the senior citizens here, I think that they will tell you the Psalms are precious. They really are precious. And we're looking at the 46th Psalm today, which is one of my favorite psalms. It was a psalm that was written to remind the people of God that even in a world that seems to be collapsing, our God is our refuge. Our God is our refuge. So if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to the 46th Psalm. Just a beautiful psalm. And we can learn so much from this psalm, especially in the world we're in today. And it just has 11 verses. It's not a long psalm, 11 verses. And I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. You can follow along in the screen up here, or you can use your own Bibles. We have Pew Bibles available to you. You all have apps on your phones now, so just you'll be able to read one way or another. 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains shake into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its loft pride. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be shaken. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations roar, the kingdoms shake. He gives his voice, the earth melts. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of Yahweh, who has appointed desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, he cuts up the spear, he burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Notice how this psalm opens. Doesn't open up with a question. It doesn't open up with uncertainty. No, it opens up with a confident declaration, doesn't it? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I mean, the psalmist right away points to the source of our stability in a world that can shake all around us. And that stability is God. Is God. And as we look at this precious psalm today, I want us to see three truths that remind us that we can live without fear, even when the world seems to be shaking around us. And the first truth we see is that God is our refuge in all of the chaos. God is our refuge in all the chaos. Look again at what it says in verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains shake into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake in its loft pride. Notice again the bold declaration. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice the psalmist doesn't say, you know, God might be our refuge if everything is going, you know, well. The psalmist doesn't say God can become our refuge if the circumstances all work out. No, he doesn't beat around the bush. He says God is our refuge. And I guess that brings up the question, what's a refuge? Well, we all know what that is. It's a place of safety, right? It's a place where someone runs when danger is near. And throughout history, people have built refugees. You know, they built, they built fortresses, they built castles, they build shelters to protect themselves from enemies or natural disasters. But here's the problem with an earthly refuge. They fall apart. Walls will eventually fall. Walls will crumble. Armies can break through defenses. And natural disasters, as the people who went to North Carolina will tell you, they can destroy what humans build. But this psalm says God himself is the refuge for his people. And if you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are his people. You are his children. Notice what else the psalm says. It says God is also our strength. What's that mean? It means that God doesn't merely hold us from trouble. God gives us the power to endure trouble. To endure the trouble. And then we're told that he is a very present help in trouble. In other words, God is not distant from the struggles of his people. He's not uninvolved. He's present. He's near. He is active in the midst of your troubles and my troubles. And then the psalmist paints a dramatic picture in verses 2 and 3. Don't miss this. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains shake into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its loft. You notice the poetic language here? Poetic. It's poetic to describe the most extreme instability imaginable. Notice the two words that the psalmist uses here. What's the first word he uses? He uses mountains. What's a mountain? A mountain is something that appears to be what? Immovable and permanent. And what's happening to this mountain? It's collapsing. It's collapsing into the sea. In other words, everything that is solid and dependable is all of a sudden becoming unstable. The second word he uses is waters. And what is the water doing? It's roaring, it's foaming. The seas are raging. Even the earth itself is trembling beneath them. You see, that word water represents chaos, unpredictability, an overwhelming power that no human can control. You can't control a flood. Again, talk to the people that went to North Carolina. They'll tell you that. You cannot control the flood. Now, put those two words together, the immovable mountains and the uncontrollable waters, and you see what the psalmist is describing here is total turmoil. We're talking about the kind of scenario where fear would seem natural and unavoidable. And notice what he says. With all of this stuff happening, the mountain falling into the water, the flooding of the water, notice what he says. Therefore, you will not fear. We will not fear. In other words, even in the midst of absolute, complete chaos, mountains falling, waters raging, the world trembling around us, God's people are called to trust. You're called to trust. You're called to trust. I'm called to trust. And why? Because our security is not in the mountains. Our security is not in the waters. Our security, friends, is in the Lord. Our security is in a God who holds both the mountains and the waters in his hand. So that's the first truth that we see from this wonderful, wonderful psalm. God is our refuge in absolute chaos. No matter how unstable the world around us becomes, he alone is our safe place. He's our strength. He is our ever-present help in trouble. All right, let's move on and look at the second truth that we see from this psalm. And that is, God reigns over the nations. God is in charge of the nations. Look again at what it says in verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be shaken. God will help her when morning dawns. Listen to this now. The nations roar, the kingdoms shake. He gives his voice, the earth melts. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now here in verse 4, the focus shifts from natural chaos to political chaos. Again, look at what it says in verse 6. The nations roar, the kingdom shake. What's happening now in our world? That. Sounds very, very familiar to me. But here's the thing about the war that's going on with Iran and all this other stuff that's going on. Should we really be surprised by this? No, absolutely not. Human history has always been filled with what? Conflicts. Conflicts between nations. I got news for you. Empires rise and empires fall. Governments change. Wars happen. Leaders promise stability, but they often fail to what? Deliver on. Let's face it, the world often feels like a stormy sea of political turmoil. But notice right in the middle of this chaos, the psalmist gives us a beautiful picture in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. In other words, unlike the roaring waters described earlier, this river is calm. This river is life-giving. This river brings joy to the city of God. You see, in the ancient world, a river meant life. It meant stability. It meant provision. And this city of God refers to the place where God dwells with his people. And the point that the psalmist is making is very simple, but it's really profound. While the world is absolutely raging in chaos around us, God's people dwell in the security of his presence. Look again at what it says in verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She won't be shaken. God will help her when morning dawns. Friends, that is a beautiful picture of the secret of the church's stability. That's what holds the church together. Because I'm telling you, the church is not secure because of political influence. The church is not secure because of cultural power. And oh my goodness, it's definitely not secure because of human strength. The church is secure because God himself dwells among his people. You know, earlier I read verse 6, but notice I didn't read the whole thing. I read the nations roar and the kingdoms shake. And I stopped there for a reason, because I wanted you to think about that. But notice what the rest of the verse says. He gives his voice. The earth melts. In other words, all it takes is one word from God. One word from God. Empires that seem unstoppable will collapse at his command. Nations that appear permanent disappear from history. Where are all the nations in the Old Testament? Where are all the nations in the New Testament? They're gone. They're gone from history. The Roman Empire, gone. Probably the greatest empire that ever existed. Absolutely gone. You know, the rulers of the earth may believe that they're controlling history, but Scripture reminds us that God alone is sovereign over nations. And don't ever forget that. All right, let's finish this up and take a look at the third truth. And that is, someday God will end the wars. God will end the wars. Look again at what it says in verses 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of Yahweh, who has appointed desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts up the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. You see, that was the stuff that they used back then for wars. Today, he would probably say tanks and F-16s and things like that. You see, here the psalmist invites us to consider the works of the Lord. Look again at verse 8. Come, behold the works of Yahweh. In other words, he wants us to pause. He wants us to pause for just a moment and consider what God has done. And what do we see? Well, look at the rest of verse 8. Who has appointed desolations in the earth? In other words, it's God who's going to bring the judgment. It's God who establishes justice. It's God who puts an end to all the schemes of violence. And verse 9 makes it even clearer. Look at what he says. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He's going to break the bow. He's going to cut up the spear. He's going to burn the chariots with fire. In other words, God has the power to end wars. God has the power to destroy the instruments of violence. Oh, human weapons may rage. Human armies, they may plan and they may attack. But the ultimate outcome is not determined by a general, by human strength, by a president, by a prime minister. It's determined by God. And sadly, the world often believes that peace is going to come through a political negotiation, some type of treaty, some type of human agreement. But human history repeatedly shows how fragile those efforts really are. Again, nations will rise and nations will fall. Alliances that nations build with one another, they will eventually crumble. And every human solution, it will fail. But here's the hope of this psalm. True and lasting peace will ultimately come only when God himself establishes his rule over this earth. And the Bible teaches that this will happen through the reign of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. That's when Jesus Christ returns. And many people think it's getting close. You see, when Christ returns, the wars of this world will end. They will end. All the weapons will be destroyed. And every scheme of violence and rebellion, it will be brought down to nothing. And friends, this leads us directly to the psalmist's next command in verse 10. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. Or as it says in your other Bible translations that I like a little bit better, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Now, this verse is often quoted as a call to quiet meditation. But in its reality, in its context, it carries a stronger meaning. That's why I like how the Legacy Standard Bible says it. For instance, be still can also mean cease striving. Will you stop resisting me? It's as if God is speaking to the raging nations and to the anxious hearts, and he's saying, stop your striving. Stop your rebellion against me. I really believe that's his message to the United States today. Oh, I'm serious. I really believe that's his message to us today. Stop your striving. Stop your rebellion. Will you come back to your first love? I have been so patient and so loving to your country. I established your country, and you have turned your back on me. Cease striving. Stop your rebellion. I believe he's speaking to the church too. Recognize who I am. Fear me. I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Friends, God's glory is not uncertain. It is not dependent on your approval, on my approval. It's not. It's not threatened by human rebellion. God will be exalted. And no political system can stop his plan. No cultural movement can overthrow his kingdom. The purposes of God, they will stand forever. All right, let me close with this. The psalmist ends in verse 11 by repeating the central truth of this entire passage. If you walk away with anything, walk away with this. Yahweh of hosts is with us. God is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now that title, Yahweh of hosts, reminds us that God commands the armies of heaven. God's in charge of the armies in heaven. And the title, God of Jacob, reminds us that God is a covenant-keeping God who remains faithful to his people. The same God that rules the universe is the same God who watches over Little Olive Branch Baptist Church. You see, ultimately, this psalm points us forward to Jesus Christ. Because it's only through Jesus Christ that you and I can be reconciled to a loving God. It's through Christ we enter the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Through Christ is where you and I find our eternal refuge. And again, the world may shake around us. Nations may war. They may rage. Circumstances are going to change. Just wait another week. Who knows what's going to happen? The war could stop like that. Who knows? But God doesn't change. And because he's our refuge, the people of God can say with confidence, we will not fear. How about we all say that together? We will not fear. One more time. We will not fear. So the question for each of us today is simple. Where are you running for refuge? Are you running to politics? Do you really think the Republican Party is going to fix all this? You really think the Democratic Party is going to fix all this? You know what? I think we all should become independents. Maybe that's what we need to do. You know, let's just walk down the middle. That'll fix everything. Yeah, let's do that. Maybe you're running to money. You do know you can lose your money like that. One bad investment and it's gone. Maybe it's in your home. Your refuge is your home. You know, I've said this many, many times and people don't like it when I say it, but you know someday someone else is going to be living in your home? Every one of you, someday someone's going to be living in your home. It's not permanent. You're going to die, and somebody's going to live in your home. So don't put your hope in your home. Don't put your refuge there. Or maybe it's my comfort, it's my hobbies. Well, guess what? As you get older and older, you can't do as many hobbies as you used to. One accident, and that's all it takes. Again, I hate to burst your bubble, but every earthly refuge that you grab onto, it will fail you. There's only one refuge that cannot be shaken, and that refuge is right here, God Himself. Let me give you a suggestion. I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again. One of the problems we have in the church is I believe we have too many people that are glued to their TVs. They're glued to their computer screens, and they are feeding their mind with 24/7 news. That's all they watch. Is they watch news. You walk into their house and that's all that's on TV. Fox, CNN, MS, what are they now? MSN Now or whatever they are. That's all they do is watch news. Friends, we were not created to fill our mind with negative things 24/7. We need to shut it off. I remember when I was a kid, and I mentioned this before, and the older people, you know, like James, he had no clue what I'm talking about here. He didn't live in that, and Sam probably doesn't even remember it. We grew up with a time where at 6 p.m. we watched Walter Cronkite. You guys all remember Walter Cronkite? James, you know who Walter Cronkite was? No. Sam, do you even remember Walter? We watched Walter Cronkite, and he gave us the world news and just the news. He didn't give us his opinion. He didn't try to scare us to death. He gave us the news. And then at 11 o'clock here, we would watch the local news, and we would get what was happening in our neck of the woods. We knew what was happening in the world. We got to make our own opinion of what we thought about it. And then we went to bed, got up the next morning, and went on with our lives. We didn't have it constantly in our faces. So if you want to stop living in fear, turn the TV off a little bit more, get out of your computer, and get in the Word. And look at all the wonderful promises that God has promised His children. Too many people are living in fear today because all they do is watch TV. They watch the news. They listen to the news. Turn that off once in a while. Hey, you know what? Every now and then, turn it off. Go to MeTV and listen to Barney Fife. You know what? That's what I do. I go listen to Barney Fife, Andy Griffith, and things like that. Go watch some TV that just makes you laugh once in a while. So again, what's your refuge? Again, there's only one refuge, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So friends, when when the world trembles, when fear rises, when there's so much uncertainty surrounds us, the people of God need to remember this truth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for reminding us through your precious word that you are our refuge and you are our strength, that you are a very, very present help in trouble. So, Father, when the world around us feels unstable and our hearts are tempted to live in fear, Father, would you help us? Would you help us to trust in you? To teach us to be still and to know that you are God. Father, would you please strengthen our faith today? Would you calm our fears? And would you remind us that you are with us and that you are our stronghold? Father, we thank you so much for the hope we have through our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for the unshakable kingdom that is ours in him. And it is in Jesus' precious name that we do pray. Amen.